So for 6 years, he not only endured these minor hardships, but he practiced austerities. We're told that for some time he went without clothes altogether, even in the snow. We don't often think of it snowing in India, but on the slopes of the Himalaya it does. And we're told that the Buddha, even in that bitterly cold weather with snow on the ground, at a certain period in his early life, he just went about naked, without any clothes at all. And he also gradually reduced his diet. He experimented in different ways. He was also trying to find a path he didn't know. He was just using the method, as we discussed this morning, of trial and error. So some people said that, well, if you cut down your food and if you just live on a few grains of rice or barley a day and a few sips of water, that will bring you very near to enlightenment. So he tried this method. He found that it didn't work. We are told in the scriptures that at one time in his career he became just like a skeleton with skin clinging to it. And there's a very famous image in Gandhara Buddhist art showing the Buddha at this stage of his career. And it's a very, very terrible figure indeed. You see just the skeleton with all the veins visible, the muscles visible, and just the skin clinging on to that framework, onto that bony skeleton. So this is how the Buddha lived for several years. So what tremendous determination this must have taken. How heroic was that life, how heroic was that endeavor. But then when he became quite famous for these austerities and was regarded by many people as a really holy man, because in India even today people are very much impressed by austerities. I remember in this connection, this is just by the way, Vinoba Bhave once went to Saranath, which is a Buddhist center, and his disciples told some monk friends of mine that Vinoba Bhave only ate a certain type of grain for his breakfast, and he had to be ready right on the dot of 7 o'clock. So the disciples impressed this upon the Buddhist monk so much that the abbot there, or rather assistant abbot, who is a friend of mine, he personally went exactly at 7 o'clock with this grain to Vinoba Bhave's room to make quite sure he got it in time. So he was there just a little before 7 o'clock, but Vinoba Bhave had already gone. So one or two disciples were still lingering, so my friend asked, well, watch this, you asked for it to be brought exactly at 7, and here I am just a minute before him with the very thing he wants. Well, he hasn't even waited for it. They said, ah, that's his greatness. So my friend was very disgusted. I'm afraid in a rather polite way he told those disciples what Vinoba Bhave could do with his greatness, which didn't go down very well, and he told me this story himself a little later on. But this sort of eccentricity can very often attract a great deal of attention in India. Not only in India, even in this country, in some religious circles, if you behave in a rather eccentric sort of way, then you can perhaps gain quite a little following, at least among some kinds of people. So the Buddha lived in this way, we might even say in this eccentric way, practicing extreme austerities for a number of years. And he got quite a following. One of the texts says that at that stage of his career, his fame resounded throughout India, just like the sound of a great bell hung in the canopy of the skies. And even at that time, people flocked to him, marveling at his austerities. But then the Buddha did something even more heroic. He realized that that was all a mistake, that it was the wrong path, and he stopped. And that was more difficult still, I would say. Here he was surrounded by the admiration of so many people. They all thought he was doing the right thing. They were all convinced he'd get enlightenment one day by torturing himself. And there they were, waiting around him, just like vultures, you might say, ready to pick up whatever bits of enlightenment fell from him after he got his enlightenment. And then what did he do? He let them all down. He let them all down. He didn't fulfill their expectations. He scandalized them by actually taking solid food. And when he did that, they left in disgust, saying, he has returned to the path of luxury. Because he took a bit of rice and curry, the path of luxury. And they left him in disgust. And he was left all on his own, completely on his own. And this really tested, we may say, his heroic qualities. It's easy to go along, it's easy to do anything, however difficult, so long as other people are with you. It's quite easy to do something difficult, huh? When you've got lots of people applauding and say, "Oh, how wonderful, and look what he's doing, and how difficult it is," and admiring and all that sort of thing. But when you have to go against everybody, and when no one likes what you are doing, when everybody disagrees with what you're doing, and they leave you in disgust, then that is a very difficult time. And it's very, very few people who can carry on then. We might say that Christ reached a similar period of his career in the garden, on the Mount of Olives, when everybody practically deserted him. So it was the same with the Buddha, in a way, at this particular stage of his career. Everybody deserted him. Everybody left him. And he was alone, struggling to find the path by himself.